Good evening and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, September 21st, year 2000. And this evening in the fireside is a forum, and it is entitled, Ma and Pa Bell, Can They Find Us at Holden? The session number is FO2000-1. Let's relax and have a listen on the debate.
This is Thursday, September 21st. This is basically the committee, with the exception of Kari, that was described on the piece of paper that I hope everyone has gotten. But I know that some people may not know all of us or what our roles are in the village. And so, starting with Heidi, we'll just kind of introduce ourselves and then we'll get started.
I'm Heidi. I am one of the registrars, and this winter I'll also be in the Resource Center.
I'm Diane Shiner, and I'm a co-director.
I'm James.
I'm Christopher. I serve the village as the operations manager.
I'm Mary Ann, and I'm in the post office and the library.
I'm Scott, and I work with high school students.
I'm Molly, and I serve as business manager.
And I'm Esther, and I work as medic and in the laundry. But if you excuse me just a minute, I have to make a phone call before we get started. You see, I have a daughter-in-law who's newly pregnant, and I haven't talked to her yet. And they live in Southern California, so I want to call and see how she's doing and make sure she's taking her prenatal vitamins and getting enough rest. So just hold on a minute. Here we go.
Whose phone is it?
No service? That's okay. I'm going out next week. I'll call Wenatchee. It's much closer than Southern California, and make my motel reservations. Oh, I have my phone number right here. It's only going to take a minute, truly. Oh, they even have a 1-800 number.
Is it ringing?
No. No service. Christopher, what does that mean, no service? Well, hold the registration.
Yes, okay, yeah, you want to confirm. Okay, well, hold on just a second. I'll look it up. Hold on, just a second. No, Kari's in a different office. Hold on a second, I'll transfer you. Hello, yes, hold the registration. Yes, no, AT&T, we're really not interested.
Well, once upon a time, there were telephones in the village. We go all the way back to the mining days. There were telephones here. And I'm not totally sure what all happened to those lines that were fairly expensive to maintain. But certainly by the time Holden Village was Holden Village Inc., a retreat and renewal center, there was no longer a telephone, nor was it financially or technically very feasible to have one here. And for many, many years, it has been one of the unique kind of defining features of Holden. As Esther was illustrating, when King TV was up here recently and filmed us, they started with the telephone saying, no service, indicating our remoteness. Over the years, especially as it's more recently, there has been a growing sense, as other forms of technology have come to the village, that someday the possibility of telephones would re-emerge realistically. There have been many different things that have changed over the last several years, and there's a wonderful issue, if many of you have seen it, but if you haven't, I encourage you to pick up a copy of a issue of Good Courage from February of 1999, so a year and a half ago, that was devoted to A Place Apart No More. And there were several good articles in there regarding the evolution of technology and the questions that we should be asking each time as there is a new possibility for something to assist us or hurt us. And these are simply here for you to look at. When I was being interviewed in January of 2000 for this position, one of my interview questions was, it's the summer of 2001, and the mine reclamation work is beginning, and the engineers have a telephone, and you notice that your staff is going over and borrowing their phone. What are you going to do about it? And I thought, I've got till the summer of 2001. And what I had answered was that I had hoped that we would have a committee and a conversation in the village to think proactively how we wanted to address this possibility and not let it just creep in on us. Well, little did I realize that during the very week of the installation, during the board meeting, there was a person here in the village who was selling satellite phones and wanted to do a demonstration for our board. And so it was quickly recognizable that even during that meeting, there were satellite phones in the village, and since then, with the mine development, there are several satellite phones right now here in the Koinonia building that have been being used for this project. As the paper has indicated, because the prices have come down from $8,000 to $5,000 to $4,000 and so on, and now there's one on sale for $700, the financial aspect and the technical aspect in terms of clarity, we don't have to wait till next year. It's here, it's at our door. And so I did what I said I would do, which was start a committee, hopefully representing different aspects of the village as represented here, who have different kinds of concerns relative to what kind of impact could a telephone have. And we have been meeting since the early part of August. Not all of us were here initially. Christine was here and Scott was not here. And we have been wrestling with this from many different perspectives. We are not in full agreement. And I know you're very surprised, but we have had the full spectrum of what if we could jam the error somehow so that phones simply could not be utilized, whether it was the Forest Service or otherwise, to the possibility of the phone booth down there by Narnia or someplace. And what we have tried to do is to kind of seek some middle ground where more of our comments have clustered, and we're still working with that. And we felt that we're now at a point that it's time to bring this conversation out into the broader community for some more input. Our hope is that we will build recommendations into our budget process, whatever they may be, that will be going to a board meeting in the early part of November. So there is a time frame around this that we are working with. So here we are tonight, and Christopher will talk a little bit about the purpose tonight.
Soon, our directors will be making a decision whether or not Holden Village will have its own telephone and how it might be used. They will be making this decision within the parameters of board policy and after listening very carefully to the greater Holden community. When they make this decision, they want to have an accurate gauge of our feelings, awareness of all the issues, and all the information possible. We have been talking about phones for years. Last year's winter community talked about phones. The board has talked about phones. This committee, representing a cross-section of this summer's community, has talked about phones. And now we are talking about phones. Tonight, we hope to surface issues, gather information, and allow everyone to express their feelings. This is not a debate that can be won or lost. We are not trying to reach consensus tonight. Tonight, we're having a conversation. And in our conversation tonight, we will be helping Janet and Diane think about a very difficult issue.
Does everybody have or have read a copy of our memorandum or summary? I want to just take just a minute and walk you through this from the committee's perspective. This document summarizes, and I use that term in its highest sense. This is really boiling hours and hours and hours down to get it onto two pages. Summarizes several meetings of the phone committee. Over and above everything in our meetings and in this memorandum is the statement of Holden's mission, and we see that at the top of the memo. The first section under that, Phone Philosophy and Practice Group, describes some of the reasons we started looking at this now. You've heard that in some of the dialogue already. Even though a cell phone still has no service, the satellite phones work, and we've all seen what happens with technology. It'll be a few years, maybe a little more than that, but not much more, until satellite phones, in the opinion of several people on the committee, will be as easy to obtain and as inexpensive to operate as cell phones are now. We saw that with cell phones when they started out being very expensive and very elite. And as the user group expands, the costs drop, and that will happen with satellite phones. So that somewhere out there, and my vision isn't good enough to see just when, but somewhere out there people will be carrying these satellite phones as easily as we now carry cell phones in most of the world. The next section is the core village values to protect in considering a change. This little six-line section was developed over the course of a several hour-long meeting. There were a lot more thoughts and values stated, but they were boiled down into these that are given here. One interesting thing that was noted after this was created is that something that we hear often in Holden, that we're a place apart, is not part of the mission statement. You can read through that and you won't find it. And yet it very definitely is part of our values, so it's listed here. You'll also notice that some of these values are not inconsistent, and in fact are very consistent with allowing a phone, while others are quite inconsistent with having telephones in the village. So the values can conflict with each other. We also didn't prioritize the values. We didn't want to, I wasn't part of this meeting, but my sense is that we didn't want to say that one of these values is more important than another. The next section represents the next meeting, and that was when we met to discuss what are the needs that a phone might help us to resolve in the village in one manner or another. And after we had brainstormed a lot of different needs, each of the members of the committee went up and put a number from 0 to 5 next to each one, and those were tallied up. And so those with a high score represented those that the committee fairly consistently felt was very important. 0 was unimportant, and so anything with less than a 10 as a total score isn't even on our list here tonight as being a need. On the back of the paper, then, is the summary of the discussion that came in our next two meetings, really, where we tried to look at those needs and the values and to find places where they might coexist effectively for the village. We had a broader discussion than that, really, at the extremes that Christopher mentioned, but we want to focus here tonight on more of the middle ground that we narrowed ourselves down to. So we have a tentative proposal given here, with the first element of the proposal being that we do bring in a satellite phone, which we would use more as a super radio. And that's a term that the committee adopted to sort of tell ourselves, this isn't a phone. It is really just an enhanced radio system, and we're going to use it just the way that we use our radio now. It may be used in place of the radio. We're not sure which one would be the backup for the other, but it's more of an experimental stage. How does this thing work? Does it work as well as they say it will? Do we have privacy concerns? What are some of the issues? What are some of the advantages? And kind of dip our toe in the water. The next part of this, the next proposal within this, is to develop a statement for our guests, continue the current request that guests not bring phones or use phones in the village, and then also have a statement for the registrar to give guests if they do need to contact someone outside that very clearly says, here's the process for deciding how you go about contacting someone outside of the village. The third item on here, in that next to the last paragraph, is looking at the next step, if there is a next step, should there be a next step beyond this super radio. And there are several questions listed there, and some hot terms like slippery slope. But there is an enhanced version of this super radio that would make it more accessible, more private, more workable for us. Should we take that next step, especially for some limited business functions that were still rated as very important but wouldn't be met under the super radio stage? Would we still continue to discourage guests and staff from using the phones? We think so, but that'll be part of the dialogue tonight. Email access, perhaps, to our business contacts outside. There are some businesses now that don't give you an address anymore. They just give you an email address to contact them at. We wouldn't be on the internet necessarily, but we would have access so that we could download those messages and reply to those messages in that way. I think there's an important statement here that it's important to remember all of the values we wish to safeguard. And that's especially hard given that some of them are in conflict with each other. And then finally, in the last paragraph, there are some questions that even within the committee, we weren't even close to consensus on. And again, we want dialogue from this group as to these items. What do we do about the guests or potentially staff who bring phones anyway? And at some point in time, do we let people self-determine what an urgent use of that telephone communication should be? James?
Did you want to ask for any clarifications?
Good, thank you. Yeah, did anybody have any questions? Was there any terminology or unclear items on the memorandum?
I was unclear at the beginning, Diane, when you said that with the budget concerns, it almost sounded, correct me if I was wrong, that we are going to do this one way or another, then we're going to have a phone of some sort. It's just a matter of how we're going to use it.
No, it's just that at the Management Council meeting that was in June, there was potential for a discussion to occur right then.
Okay.
And so we asked that we go back into the village and study it, everything from cost to impact to what limitations. And at the next Management Council meeting, which is when they approve the budget, mm-hmm. we would come back with the results of that, mm-hmm. which, if it was the purchase of a phone, then that would be included in the budget, and that becomes the mechanism through which the board might approve or disapprove it. They would be fully aware that it was included, or it might not be included.
Okay.
If it's not included, I'm just saying that that was the parameter. We said,
sure.
Give us some time, and we'll be back.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we thought we'd begin the discussion with a little bit of a broad question, and that was, is the notion of a phone in the village, can it help us to achieve our mission, and can it support these core values, and how so, or how is it harmful? How does it keep us from achieving our mission and achieving these core values? And so what kind of input can you give us on that question? Too broad.
You said somewhere that the radio that we have right now isn't efficient enough. What does that mean? Like, does it not work sometimes? Or, like, have we had emergencies where it hasn't been working, or what does that mean?
I don't know if it says it's not efficient or it's not cost efficient, so it's kind of like phone banking.
Sometimes a radio doesn't work.
Okay, that's fine.
And there's a variety of reasons for that. Sometimes it's difficult to hear, a lot of static. Mm-hmm. And other times we've had problems with the translator or our antenna system in the snow or the wire between the garage and the hotel, and it has been inoperable. To my knowledge, it's always worked when we really needed it in the case of an emergency, at least within the last 3 years. I don't know, Janet, do you remember a time it hasn't?
It's always worked. Plus, we have more than one system. That's part of the reason why it works. We have some contingency plans.
We have three radio systems. And the primary one, the one that we own, goes directly to the Chelan Police Department and to the B&B. The others are there, placed there by the Forest Service and the Sheriff, and they are our backups, but they're not our radios. So yes, it sometimes doesn't work, and we can't call anywhere we want. You know, we call just where the other radios are placed. Does that answer your question?
What is the cost? The cost of the radio was mentioned in here. What do you have to pay for right now?
I think this year it's going to cost us a little over $3,000, and that's without any of the equipment costs. That's just maintaining and repairing and paying for some of the access that we need with the radio, antenna access and things like that.
Is there any way of projecting under the current available satellite service, assuming the same usage, what the cost comparison would be?
Yeah, I think under what we have here, if we say that the minimum number of minutes that are provided is 50 minutes, I don't think we use our radio 50 minutes in a given month.
On average, probably not.
On average. Probably some months when we have an emergency, it might go over. Probably would go over the 50 minutes. But the $90 a month for the 12 months would be, $1,080 compared to the $3,000. Now, there may be ultimately maintenance, et cetera, that's needed for that, but you're still looking at the third that cost.
The real cost of our radio system is more than $3,000 a year. If you look at equipment replacement and certain breakdowns, which happen periodically, but not every year.
I would say that we have had emergencies that we have had been on the radio 50 minutes.
Right.
A single emergency.
Yeah. And then we'd run into that, $1.50 per additional minute at these rates. But again, I think these are much higher than they will be next year or the year after that or the year after that.
6 months ago, it was $1.99.
But I don't think that cost should be, by any means, the overriding discussion here. I mean, if you're saying that every other value listed would be against the radio except cost, then I would pay the $2,000 or $3,000 more to protect all those other values. But that's not the only consideration that we looked at. You know, we looked at issues for staffing and quality line.
I'm racking my brain trying to frame something in the question or in as an answer to the question that James posed as what are things that are positive that can help us with our mission if we have a phone. And I usually feel like I'm a positive person, and I personally at this moment, even after reading this, have trouble finding something that I feel strong enough that it would be improving our actions of living out our mission by having a phone. And I'm interested to hear, and I don't know if that's where some of our silence is coming, or this is a new topic for some people, but for me, I'd like to come up with something that I haven't been able to.
Kristen.
I have a feeling that it's hard to talk about because it's an emotional issue. And I think one reason it's an emotional issue, I'd like to pose a plus and a positive and a negative statement, because I don't know where I'm at, but I know that it's emotional for people. I think it's emotional for me because I know it's so hard to get away from our American culture. We are here away from TV, and you really have to work to get the radio. Phone is just another connection to our American culture, and we talk about you know, the affluenza movie, and we're here separated out so we can get a bird's eye view of our lives. And that's, I think that is a huge cost of the telephones coming in, is that we'll lose some of that bird's eye view. We'll get caught back into our normal, quote unquote, lives. And also we'll have more access to buying things and business and stuff. You know, our ties will be stronger to our American culture. So that's a cost to us. On a plus side, I could see we talk about wanting to have more continuity in staff. And one thing that makes it hard for people to be here longer term is concern about family members. I know I've developed a writing habit with my mother that's worked pretty well, but she would, if she knew that we could have phones up here, she would send us one. She would. And I think my point is that it may be of support to staff being here longer to have phones. So there's a plus and a minus.
Go ahead, Ron.
Do the radio phones work within a building, or do they have to be used outside?
Depends upon the one purchased. The $700 phone, the ones that the mining contractors are using now, needs to be outside with a clear line of sight to a satellite. However, you can buy a remote antenna for them that would go on the roof, and it enables you to have a fairly normal telephone setups within a building. With for an additional expense. The last, I think it was $2,700 for the remote system where there's an antenna on the roof and as many as five telephones in the building.
My yes or no answer on phones, I would say no, I'd rather not have phones here. Mm-hmm. But focusing on what I think is inevitable instead, with what has been proposed here, I have a lot of things I'd like to say. One, I think Super Radio is probably one of the best things that's come out of this committee. And so if I think of it in that way, and I think of what we use now, and I picture who uses that, it's only one or two or three people. And I can see very clearly how that's used, how that's approached. Most people don't even know how to use it. And I can picture that being the case with the satellite phone for a while. I can picture it working how it's proposed for a while, that it really is the super radio, and that only a few people even know where it is and know how to use it. Maybe there's some way of knowing that, that there's an emergency and we're being contacted through that phone. But where I think it gets really troublesome for me is this is the first step, you open the door, and then how do you be really intentional and really clear to everyone that this impacts? The village may feel really relatively in consensus about doing this, taking the first step, and then we may go ahead and do it, but then how do we put that information out there? And I think it's a real discrepancy to say, to tell people that we don't have phones up here when we do have one. And it's a real discrepancy to tell people that they can't bring theirs and we have ours. And so that's a really fine line that I think will be extremely difficult to balance and to walk on.
Well, even that's a really good point, Tori, and we talked about it. I do want to clarify, I think in the statement that we have for the guests, it does say radio/satellite phone, so we wouldn't be denying that we have one, but we would be specific with our guests that this is for absolute critical care emergency use only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's probably the crux, that's the most important part, is it's really clear what it's used for. And so that there are no rumors, there's no like, oh, Holden has a phone now. You know, it has to be really, has to be one of the most clear things stated, I think.
Mm-hmm. I worry about detention. I don't know if this is a good example or not, but we forget to fill up bus slips, and the registrar has to deal with the fact of saying we don't have room. We have all of our vans going down, and it's November 24th, and they're completely full and we can't bring anyone else down. But don't you understand, I have to get to this interview. And they have to deal with saying no, and there's tension there. And maybe they're good friends with the person that says no, or that they really need to get to this interview. But that we have it, that it's, if we had it as a super radio and listed, who's the person that has to deal with saying, who are the many people that have to say that's only for emergency use, and who decides what is emergency? And maybe we have a policy, but there's still going to be this tension of people trying to push the level, even if we've created a value saying this is what we're going to do. This is the reason why we only have 36 people go out in the winter, is because of avalanche danger and safety and what we have with that there are things put in place, but we push it all the time. And I don't think anyone tries to hurt one person or manipulate one person, but we've come to a place in our society that I think where we know how to get just a little bit further towards what we want. And I'm fearful for those that have to take on that on their shoulders of saying no. And are we ready to have specific people who say, have to say no over and over and over again? And we may be just using it as a super radio, but having to deal with that in itself could be a huge stress.
Yeah, that's one of the things we've definitely struggled with a lot, is making the choice once by saying there's no radio here, or no phone here at all, or making the choice every day. Mm-hmm. And how do we determine what urgency is?
I'd like to answer that, because I am that person. Benoit and I are those people now. No super radio, just radios now. And what I like about this is it's putting policies into place. Right now we do not have a policy. It's this nebulous, other than it's the operations manager, the business manager, or director that will use the radio, and that's it. But we don't have any written policy about who will use the radios, when they'll get used, what is emergency, what's not emergency, who defines that. And this already here lists something that we can say, here it is, here's your options. And the task force continue to say, we need to continue to wrestle with what is urgent. And before super radio gets here, have what is urgent. And so that's what I really like about this, because the reality is communication is already here. You can get out there. But now it's who defines it? Who do I tell, yes, there's a radio that you could use, and who do I not tell? Who, you know, and that's what I like about this.
If we said yes to everybody, if we got to that point, mm-hmm. would that be a bad thing?
I think it would change the nature of this being a place to send people up with good courage to challenge themselves to live differently, to live into their faith with social and environmental convictions. And I think of the fast-paced nature that we try to slow down, that we have rituals on a daily basis of meals and vespers and different things, that if the phone comes in there, there's interruptions just a little bit more so. So if we say yes, there could be more. We say yes to everyone, there could be potential more interruptions. Someone's not going to be at vespers a little bit more, so someone's going to be away from other community activities.
All right.
I think your introduction example doesn't even come close to what's happening outside. And I've been in a lecture hall with 400 people and a forum, and the phone's ringing with the people on the forum. I mean, it that bad. And it's in church, during a prayer, phones are going off. You know, we probably should set by example. That by us not having it, then we don't expect anyone else to have it also. Because it could just open a floodgate where people spend more time on their phones up here than they mm-hmm. do for the experience of being here.
Set by example, there's a couple of examples that we could set, and that is not having a phone, or an example of how to use a phone well. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if people have input on that as well, as you're thinking.
To expand that out too, have there been any instances within recent years that it would make a difference?
It would make a difference in that we would have more rapid access and contact with the medical services downlink. We could directly dial to the hospital and speak to whoever is on duty, rather than now we call the sheriff's department, they call the hospital, somebody gets in a car and goes from the hospital to the sheriff's office and calls us back. So that's one of the concerns.
Another thing that's happened over the years, as technology has accelerated, expectations people have has also gone up. And people now are more apt to expect rapid emergency response anywhere they go, and it is available almost anywhere now.
And I would say even beyond that, beyond emergency, they expect rapid answers to their questions about coming as a staffer.
Mm-hmm. And in addition, just a lot of questions that we could have answered, having to fly repair folks up, making contacts with folks. You spend a lot of money in sending people out of the village to make contact on the phone with people. So those instances would make an impact. How large of one is a whole other question.
I know that Walt and I came in the last month, and in the last, we've known for almost a year that we would be doing this, and so we've had many opportunities to tell our community what we were up to. And the universal response was, no telephones, let us go there. And I think that the pendulum may begin to swing with the backlash. I've been through enough movie theaters, even in tiny Friday Harbor, where people are not only having ringing telephones during the movie, but have the audacity to answer it and start a conversation. And I do think that, you know, to some degree there is a backlash, and some of that backlash was saying, thank you, I would like to do what you're doing. I think that's, you know, refreshing and probably going to bring balance.
One of my concerns and where we're headed is not
whether or not Holden has phones. Because these things are not whether or not Holden decides to get a phone. These are what do we tell our guests about using phones. Because
you mean phones that they bring up?
That they bring up. Because these things are not that Holden has a phone or not doesn't have a phone. These things are things that are going to happen. The reality is, for $700, what Kristen says is true. If her mother knew that a $700 phone was available, there are high school kids for whom a $700 phone is a no big deal birthday present. I mean, So my concern is there are two conversations that are happening. One conversation is, what do we do about people who have the capacity to bring their phones now? And a second conversation, and parallel in many ways, but a different conversation is, can Holden responsibly get a telephone of any kind, maybe be an example of how good use of phone is, and does that further enhance the Holden mission and hold to the core values that we've listed here? So there's two conversations.
And on the guest bringing phones, it already happened this summer. We had a guest come, very nice guy, and he was talking about his satellite phone and how he was very polite about it. He went out to the bridge and he only called his office 3 times a day. So it's here. And that the parameters of, I didn't have any, after my mouth, like, I finally was able to pull it back up again. I had no idea what to say to him. Don't use it. You know, he thought he was being very polite in leaving the village. And he really did not mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but what do you say? It's there. And take it. I need your phone. Hand over the phone. I should have, for his own good, but.
And actually, that is an area that, you know, we want input in any ideas, because no matter what we choose to do for the village, we have that issue. And part of the arrival of this discussion is that it's my understanding, and it was confirmed today in one of our discussions, people who were here with the arrival of VCRs, and saying that the way they got here was because a few staff got them, had them in their chalets, were staying there watching, and then the issue about participating in the community came up, and then that led to, let's get one in here so we can watch this together. And one of the two people today who was at that conversation, who was there at that time, said that it went to the extreme, which is part of our fear, that that she came up during the winter and discovered that much of the time was being spent in here watching videos instead of singing and having conversation and whatever else, you know, would go on here in the winter, and that it kind of came in like that. And so hopefully, by trying to face it and think about appropriate technology and what kind of stance we can make, no matter what we decide to do, I think that issue is already here. And I think it was with James who said, when we were commenting, that all of these people who have brought phones have gone outside the village parameters, where of course we can't tell them what to do. You know, that's not our, you know, people bring phones into the wilderness. But James was saying, well, yeah, this had to do with whether we should have a designated area in the village for phoning, because the image of going for a hike or going out to the labyrinth, you know, and finding somebody out there on the phone was even, you know, more disruptive to...
And offensive
to James, what you hope for. We were to treat it like smoking and say it's going to be down behind the craft shop or something like that. I don't know, but still, anyone who has got thoughts of any kind about how to address this issue. And of course there is, I'm sure, without a doable policy, if guests are bringing them in, it's just a matter of time until staff person brings one in and feels like this will be the way that they'll be secretive about it, but they're going to go off somewhere and maintain a contact with someone that's important to them. So what are we going to do about that?
Where have you been?
I don't know. I almost backed off when I heard Heidi, but it's kind of a step in the same direction further. Personally, I'm open-minded and in the middle. I think we should have one of those things that destroy satellites.
And I can't come up with anything positive to say for the phones. But the fact is, guests are going to be bringing them into the village. They are already. And it's not just a matter of, you know, us having a policy to cope with it, but I'm concerned it could be a wedge into our own community in terms of these nebulous definitions. And while the guys at the mine have a radio, so I can go call my new daughter-in-law who's pregnant, and then it becomes my boyfriend who I haven't seen in a week, and then my mother would call any chance. But you have a policy that's unenforceable and being circumvented, and as such cheapens or undermines our own community. And as much as I hate telephones, I think we have to have a realistic means of dealing with them.
Janet?
I kind of wanted to follow up on the discussion about the VCRs in that context. I wasn't here when that established. The stories I hear were just like Diane heard, that kind of came in and there hadn't been conversation. It just kind of happened and there hadn't been, people hadn't talked about it. I think since I've been here in the last 6 years, I've had many opportunities to talk about that very issue. And as a core community, people who live here through the winter and on into the summer season, we have had a chance to talk and come to some agreements. And we wish maybe the agreement was a little different, but we're able to live with it. And we understand why we're choosing that. It's going to be much more difficult with the phone thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the core community that lives here through the winter will definitely come to some agreements about how they want to live with or without a satellite phone. But it's this other issue of how do you draw the larger community. This community is thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. How do we agree? And what are the, you know, do we do some great education campaign? We already say to our community, our broader community, don't bring them and don't use them. Mm-hmm. But it's like so many issues around here. What are the consequences if you break the agreement? What if you smoke on the lower porch of a lodge instead of the upper porch? What do we do to you? Do we send you out? No. You know, we struggle with those things as those of us who've lived here longer than a week, maybe even a week, struggle with those. Well, what do we do about it? And it comes down to talking with one another. And when you're in a smaller group, you can come to some agreements and do some conflict resolution. But I'm not sure how we do it with the larger group. Unless we make some really creative educational effort out there. But every issue of good courage has to do with this, I don't know, something.
Yeah, there's along with the two conversations that Heidi alluded to, you know, how do we deal with the larger community and the fact that phones are coming and people want to bring them, and what is the village going to do? There's also the place where those meet, and I think Tori alluded to, with if the village has a phone, how do we deal with saying, well, we have a phone, but we're asking you not to bring yours as well. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the difficulties there? And also, a couple of people have mentioned they don't have any they'll mention not having anything good to say, or that's okay. I think we're looking for input on how you feel phones are detrimental as well. So,
is it possible to have a super radio, your first plan, and really have a confidential number where the Chelan County Sheriff or those that we would use, similar to what we would do with a radio, that it would be able to remain truly confidential? Because if it wasn't confidential, who's going to answer it all the time when we start getting some people that found our number somehow and they want to let you know that they're coming on Thursday instead of Wednesday? Or they want to let you know that the PVC pipe that you ordered isn't coming in for 2 weeks? Or will there be ways that people can find our number out, even if we don't give it up?
The super radio would be a battery like a cell phone. And would we be required to be outdoors? Okay. So most of the time it would be turned off and in a drawer. And even if somebody did have our number, wouldn't be able to call us. Okay. Okay. In order to be able to receive incoming calls, we'd have to create a way to receive them, which would be a later phase.
That was one of my greater fears, was thinking about just the burden of who has to deal with those things. And I think I said that earlier. But knowing more that it was something that we would turn it on when we needed to get in contact with an emergency, I think that's a very different function of it and feels a little bit safer in a lot of ways.
And Melissa's?
Well, my gut feeling is really negative, just the pit of my stomach, negative feeling. But for me, the medical emergency use, like Stacey was just talking about, calling out is much more acceptable. But the fact that even some of the things that are prioritized, that there's 10 or more votes for on this list, are worrisome to me. Banking made easier, like business uses, it's already like I can see some of the slippery slope already on that list, and that's scary to me, even in the initial stages.
Yeah, Tori?
Back up, just one question. Is that suggesting that the super radio would only be used for outgoing calls and not incoming? Because that's a huge difference.
It seems to me, from what we were talking, that we were talking about the systems that currently can reach us, like the sheriff's department and so on, that can reach us through the radio, would also be able to reach us through the satellite. In other words, it would be very similar. But if we have it turned off, then of course the radio is going to be the primary way. However, let's suppose that there's something going on back and forth, we're dealing with an evacuation or something like that, then in fact we would have the phone on as we now sit by the radio, in order to expect the call back about the helicopter, whatever it would happen to be. I think that's that.
Go ahead, Kristen.
I'd like to emphasize before I say what I'm going to say that I don't know. I have a pit in my stomach when I think about phones, but I see the positive too, so I don't want to totally project one view. But this is reminding me a lot that we are not the first people who have rejected technology. I think about the Amish and some of the Mennonites. We have Mennonites in our community in Bonner's Ferry who are a community unto themselves, and they live differently than the surrounding community. I have a great deal of respect for them. It takes a lot of work. And they also do use fear to keep people in line. But I do have a great deal of respect for them choosing a different way of life. And I could see our community making that choice to live intentionally with appropriate technology. And I could see the super radio as a solution to that, that we stick firm to our policy that we've made up and the reasons that we use the phone. That makes sense to me.
Go ahead, Janet.
I just have a word of hope.
When I first came here in 1994, we had just gotten this radio connection down to the message service at the bed and breakfast. And it was pretty controversial with our board. And that first fall and next winter, that radio was used for a lot of ordering the lumber that hadn't gotten on the order sheet, or the last minute projects, that sort of thing that hadn't been taken care of the way we would prefer to do it, through the mail or through the pouch to our message service. And there was a lot of use that way. And we made a decision that that's not what it was for, and that we weren't going to be ordering ice cream on the radio. That was kind of a joke. And now I think pretty clearly, I don't know, Christopher, you use it some for maybe non-emergency sorts of stuff. But I think we use it much less than we did at the beginning. And I think the community and the administration here made an attempt, and policies and practices that limited it from a time when we had more liberal practice.
I think the current radio is more urgent rather than emergency.
Yeah.
And things that, if you can do it in the pouch, then do it in the pouch, by all means. One thing different about the radio than the phone would be, when we use the radio, we're requiring the staff of the V&B to then make an effort on our behalf. We're not calling directly to somewhere. We're getting them to do the work. And we're very aware of that when we use it, and that's one of the limiting factors. Not to mention, it's really a very stressful and annoying process to talk on our radio. It's not at all relaxing and pleasurable. It's difficult to hear. You have to repeat and talk very slowly, and you think, do I really have to give them that phone number? No, I'm not going to try to get that across too. So it's not like a phone in that respect.
But I'll always say over at the end of every sentence.
Yeah, you'll keep doing that when we get.
There's also the issue. Well, I'm not sure how much of an issue it is, but we do have the pouch, so we are using the phone here in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We're just sort of pushing it down there to another staff member. So, and fax machine. Yeah.
Yeah, the village uses the phone a lot in sort of a disconnected way.
Mm-hmm. There was something in the someone in the back.
Are you kind of talking like you might have the radio continue to be available with the phone if you decided to bring in a phone? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Until we're convinced that the phone is reliable enough and works well enough that we could discontinue the radio. But initially, we would have both.
And another thought I had too, that the phone might open up an area here that would, if there was some disaster or something that was approaching this area, be able to give you a warning to do something about it. I'm not saying what kind of disaster, maybe it's a volcano eruption or a fire or something that would be heading in this direction.
Does the radio does the police, do the police call us if there's an emergency like that? I mean, they can call us on the radio now, can't they, and give us that information?
Yeah, I wasn't here during the last volcano. Did they call?
We have talked about that issue some, and one idea with having a phone was that we would be able to check in daily if needed with NOAA about avalanche conditions in the Cascades, and so that's sort of along those lines on a sort of lesser level than volcano, but sort of
fire.
Yeah, it was a fire.
We have a Forest Service radio now that will alert us of forest fires in the area, so it could be used in conjunction, I suppose, but we would probably continue to have the Forest Service radio. It's one of the three radio systems that Christopher talked about. The others the B&B that we've been talking about a lot. Janet mentioned getting in 94, and the other one is to the sheriff, the Chelan County Sheriff. And so we'd maintain that one as well, I would believe, since it's the radio and they want us to have it here.
Although that's another good example is that I'm understanding from Christopher is that next year the Forest Service is going to be changing from radios to satellite phones. And so...
maybe we'll have their phone up here.
Well, we do now in a way, but... the other thing, just to use, you know, it seems like every day there's some example of something that is happening now related to this. And as you know, you can't miss the fact that the sewers project is going on, and not all is going smoothly without glitches with the sewer project. Leading this group that hasn't had a need for a satellite phone in terms of their previous work to call for parts, consultation, what to do as they're meeting, you know, boulders where the septic tank is supposed to be, etc. And we've worked something out that will allow that they are now borrowing Norm Day's phone in order to eliminate the need for them to literally go down to Stehekin or to do something along that line or use the radio in order to meet whatever needed is that they have relative to continuing on the sewer system. However, the need is increasing, and the good favor that they are doing by allowing them to use the phone is probably going to wear fairly thin here relative to should they purchase a phone, which of course means we pay for it because it's for our project, or would we go through much greater cost involved in them working around the fact that there wasn't a phone here and wanting them to be done by a certain time and so on. It just seems like things are coming up now that there is a phone sort of up the hill that has in fact facilitated a number of things that would have caused tremendous inconvenience or cost. And one of the things that is on here is about support of staff and also the manageability issue. And it did have to do with the sometimes expectation that to ask someone to leave the village, leave their family, leave their work and be gone for 2 days to deal with something that might have been done in 5 minutes is what is another value issue relative to the value of people's time, not in the sense of speed up, but family time, community time, work time.
Was there a hand here? Did you still want to say something?
Yes. The B&B has been mentioned a lot, and this certainly would impact us. I think we could offer you some advice and suggestions, both negative and positive. In some ways, we are a buffer for you, and you wouldn't get some of the weird phone calls. The pouch does keep us very connected with the village, which would not happen, perhaps, with the phone. And there may be some other things. I'm going to take copies of this back to the other staff members. But I think they perhaps should have some input, too.
That's right. Tori, thank you.
Yeah. Diane, I think you were hitting on just the real roots of appropriate use of technology and also the nature of the slippery slope. And that's sort of the other great word, I think, tonight, appropriate use of technology. And I just have such fear of it being so similar to you buy a dishwasher to save time, but then you just go and do something else right after you get done putting the dishes in. And so I think the way you have it written for the first proposal, you're drawing a line is pretty bold, and it needs to be that way. It really needs to be just a crack if you're going to open the door at all. And I think it also is not, as a result,
unrealistic for this community, which is an intentional community, to come to terms with how they feel about phones and be intentional. And I don't think it's unrealistic to ask for some relatively radical things about guests bringing phones. Some people might start to feel that it's radical to not allow phones to come in at all, but I think we really have to keep our foot down.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we do like the VCR and make it a party phone? I mean, I'm assuming you can't block the signal, but with the scanner, can you broadcast like on a cell phone so that it's truly a party line? So people know if they want to use this telephone, anybody could hear what they're saying, and maybe it should be appropriate. I'm trying to think of a realistic means of enforcement.
Yeah, that's what we have now. Do you realize that if you have a medical emergency here, Cozy Radio in Chelan is listening to your medical emergency? That's real.
And so is Ace Hardware.
Yeah, and as a driver, I will go down tomorrow and the people in Lucerne will ask me exactly what happened because they will have listened.
Is there a way we can use that with the telephone?
Well, but that's part of the advantage of not. If I'm in a medical emergency, I don't want to broadcast whether or not my pregnancy test came out positive. And it's going to be.
Yeah,
it is. It will be.
That's why we don't use your name.
Yeah.
Roger, but still. Here.
Yeah, on the medical emergency, if time would make a big difference on whether somebody survives or not. What legal liability does the village have by not being able to respond in a reasonable way?
But I do know that all of our literature says in bold print that we are isolated and it takes several hours to get out and blah, blah, blah. If you have health problems, don't come. Well, people ignore that the way they ignore everything else.
But you have an incident, and it's the courts to decide whether, and it could be very expensive.
Oh, I know that, and so yeah. I don't know the answer.
Is there a legal consideration to this too?
Yeah. We've talked a little bit about that, but more than the legal part is the wondering whether. Mm-hmm. While it's so inexpensive and so readily available, and we deliberately choose not to have it, and if indeed there were a situation where that would make the difference in somebody's life, it would be hard to defend that decision not to have it, and we would have wished we had. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite that clear cut, but it could be looked at that way in certain situations.
Scott?
Kind of responding along that with Kristen's things about other communities have chosen to not adopt modern technology, and I believe they don't get held liable for it. I think the more we don't buy into it, the less we buy into the liability. Yeah. The more we say we are a community that has chosen not to do that, the more likely we're able to stand on that ground. Whereas we have one, but we chose not to use it in the situation, or, it was just a little bit of pain, so we chose not to call. Seems to me then we're not able to say we've intentionally chosen to do that and let everyone know.
I have to respond. When they've done that, when they've done that, it's with the Amish community who have an extremely long tradition of that. Clearly identifiable group, and yeah, we are Lutherans, at least most of us, but we are also live here only for a short period of time, and almost all of us will even go back out into society. So I don't think that, even though while we're here we choose not to use technology, I don't think we could stand on as firmly as the Amish or any other long term. This is our lifestyle, permanent lifestyle. I think that would be difficult for us to defend. I completely understand your point, but it just concerns me that we are a lot different than the Amish communities.
Because I wasn't saying Amish as much as we've made a statement that that's the way we are here.
I'm saying the courts look, the reason that they got, the reason they don't have to put their kids into regular schools is because it is a pure full-time, all their life, they've made this decision that they're going to live this way permanently. And I don't think the community could defend that the individuals here have made that decision to, you know what I'm saying? We're a little bit different, and I'm not sure it would be supported by the courts.
And I think
anyway,
with a mission statement that is not only internally motivated, it is primarily externally motivated to be a place of service to people who need renewal and refreshment to go back. So it's an invitation, it's a hospitality. So it would just seem like the courts are going to look at what's the purpose of this place, and is it to be an enclosed community or to be a springboard? I think that would probably be a factor too.
Have the community done all they can with the radios to give this service to the community? I mean, we bought the best we can. Aren't we trying to serve the community in that respect? Here we are at a little bit better. This is just a thought.
Could we get a better radio system?
No, I'm saying the phone is a little bit better than the radio system. We've been trying to upgrade our radio system and keep it as good as possible. But here we have a chance to make it just a little bit better by using a phone system. I mean, that's just a thought.
That's actually how the term super radio
grew.
Because we have such trouble talking about the phone, and yet we have more agreement around using it as an improved radio. So that term actually grew right out of what you're saying.
If we were looking at improving our radio system by putting up another repeater on another ridge somewhere, so we'd have more reliable service, less static, less service interruptions, any consultant we looked at, as far as paying for that and making that happen, they'd say, get a phone. I mean, it's way, way, way cheaper and much more reliable. So if you want to improve that system, this would be the logical way to do that, if that's the goal.
That's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah.
Stacey?
Just food for thought. There was an Atlantic Monthly essay. It was either this past February, March, or April, one of those magazines of the Atlantic Monthly that we have here in the reading room, of an island in Alaska that got to the point of deciding to have a phone. And it talks about joking about this man proposing on the radio when he was on his fishing boat to his wife that was living in California at the time or something, and everyone hearing it. And then to the point of the stress that they are at right now with the phone being in one person's house, the house closest to the ferry dock. And so that person has to deal with it for the rest of this island. But it just would be interesting because they're a little bit closer to us than the Amish per se, but they had to come to a decision of whether or not they should have a phone on this island. And I wanted to be eloquent, to be able to write back, because they said that they were the most remote place and that they finally got a phone and that they were a community that the last community to get a phone in the United States. And I wanted to write back in the letter to the editor of the Atlantic Monthly and say, no, that's not the case. But I haven't been able to do that. But maybe someone else has words to do that and would like to. But I encourage you to read that.
Go ahead, Janet.
Stacey used the word stress, and I'm becoming more and more aware of the stress of not having it while everything is changing so fast down lane. And I'm deeply sad that we, you know, have to even have this conversation. But so I'm really more and more aware of the stress of that we're not going as fast, and we're not able to answer questions as quickly and that sort of thing. So I feel like there's a stress in that too for us.
I saw a hand over here, so it's Kristen.
Couple things, I guess. We'll just jump around for a minute. I think for me, as a retreat center, to invite people here, part of the hospitality sometimes is not to have the phones ring. And it's pretty clear for me. It's mm-hmm. part of this place, and I don't want that to change. I can definitely see that we can probably use a phone well here, especially for emergencies. It's there, it's good technology. People are bringing it anyway, and it could improve people's health and life. So I don't, and that's attention. I think the other thing that pops into my mind is I'm aware of a Jesuit retreat sanctuary on the Oregon coast that has chosen not to have phones. And obviously it could have a phone, and obviously it's right off a road. And I believe they have worked out some deal where they have access to their neighbor's phone if they need to call 911. But part of me wonders is if we can make it clear enough what our phone is for, is it really that big a deal? Can we just trust ourselves, trust the people who are coming here, and do the best we can and go with it? We kind of have to anyway.
People seem to be fairly comfortable with the idea of a super radio used for medical emergency, but I wonder how people feel about once that super radio is here, and then sort of broadening that, when does it become appropriate to use that as a village emergency? Sewer pump goes out. things of that nature, maybe getting information about providing safe drinking water. We have some sort of contamination happening, or we're out of compliance and somebody is not sure what to do about it here, and being able to contact the state immediately and being able to remedy that situation. What's acceptable and what isn't, those kind of things.
I'm not quite sure if I'm replying to your question or not, but you made me think of the fact that people don't stay here and the community is always changing, and that being here over a long period of time, it's been very interesting to see each community having to discuss issues like this. And it's a very instructive learning tool for the people who are here. So we may decide, James, whether you can call the water company, you know, whoever you need to for your references on the water quality. We might decide that this year. Maybe next year they'll say, well, that didn't work out at all. We want to totally not use any phone, not even for emergencies. Let's get, or, you know, each year will make their own decisions. And I don't think that we necessarily have to decide for the 20 years in the future. We need to, I think, decide for the next year or two what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's more than just a decision. It's just input from this group as to what is harmful and what's detrimental to the life of the village, and what is good stewardship, what is proper use, and things like that. So.
Have you guys discussed running out a much bigger phone policy, like similar to what you have here, that can be sent to the guest dispatcher?
Could you speak more slowly?
I'm sorry. It's my rapid New York. We considered sending a larger, more amplified version of our phone policy and the reasons for it, and that it's almost as important as our Vespers obligation, is the obligation not to use the telephone, and we could send it to all the guests. I mean, when you come here, don't come here if you can't keep this promise. Because I don't think people, that very nice guy did not understand the seriousness of what he was doing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's my, I am like, you just said, I'm worried about what's coming out of our control next summer, because I do not want to hear a phone ring in the dining hall.
We did talk about that, and this was sort of like one step in that direction. Mm-hmm. Probably the way that we most talked about it was around the issue of self-determination. You know, who's going to define urgencies and emergencies? And this was out there on the extreme end of one of the issues of some people bring satellite phones and other people don't have them because they can't afford them. Then is the equity issue. And so that led to the phone booth out someplace so that everybody can ruin their visit if they want to. And but even when we were out at that far, far end of things, we were still talking about what can you write to express the reason for the disconnect from the world and its value and its influence on the community. That even at that extreme end of getting out of the business of telling people what to do, but still saying, you know, this is the framework. And one of the examples that we had was the stipend reflection thing that people use as they determine what to request for support while they're here on long-term staff, that maybe something along that line might be developed relative to why not use a phone meeting. But we didn't do it. We have talked about it.
And current technology, a guest phone couldn't ring indoors.
I'm wondering if there's, I haven't really heard from anybody who's said they absolutely couldn't live with this sort of super radio proposal. I wonder if there's anybody that's feeling like it's kind of the wrong thing for the village to do, or if people are feeling pretty comfortable with that sort of a step.
I have no problem with the super radio. I have, all my problems are down the line from that, in terms of drawing a line for Molly and Christopher and Diane and Janet as to what is and what isn't an emergency, and then way down the line in terms of what the guests are bringing in the village and how do we deal with that. But as far as the super radio is concerned, in spite of everything I've said, I don't have a problem with that proposal.
We do use our current radio. We did use it when the sewer pump went out. And we had to cut our water use in the village, you know, by 3/4. And we had the May Youth Weekend group coming.
Yeah.
We used the radio for that. Would we have used the telephone then?
Well, I think an emergency is, especially if the heat producing thing is out in the winter.
It's like a guest, though, who only called the office 3 times a day.
Yeah.
From their point of view, my phone doesn't matter and I'm not using it that much. And that's where I see it leaking into the village no matter what. And I think that's something I don't know how to deal with it, but we need to be able to deal with it.
I think one thing Diane, would you share? Diana shared about acquaintance who is primary care giver for somebody fatally ill.
Oh, a few years ago, a friend of mine had planned to come to the village with me and needed to come to the village, from my impression, in that she was a primary caregiver for her mother. It was a long, long, prolonged, chronic situation, and she was extremely drained and tired and needed to come away. And but when I explained to her what the system was, you know, that there wouldn't be a way if something was wrong that she couldn't be called, then she decided not to come, you know, and didn't. And as her friend, who was encouraging her to get a break, you know, I at that time felt really sad that there wasn't some way that she could have come for the renewal that she needed and still have felt safe in terms of her responsibility to her mom. The thing I thought that you were going, this example of the Jesuit retreat that said that there's no telephones out there, I know that probably the Trappist Monastery in Gethsemane, Kentucky is probably one of the most committed to solitude of any monastery or retreat center of any place in the country. It's where Thomas Merton was and they have telephones and they are online. And I have wanted and haven't been able to contact them to see how they manage that. How have they contained that so that they keep that deep, deep sense of solitude that's essential to that community. So I think the no phone is one way, but the management of it is also another. Yes. One of the things that we said, we're wrapping up to the time when we're going to finish, is that we wanted to give any members of the committee, after hearing the conversation, just a chance to make any last comment. If anybody wants to, we go back and continue meeting next week, taking all of this into account. But just if anyone wants to share any thoughts. If not, is there anybody else that wants to add anything?
I just have a quick question. How did you guys get picked to be on the committee? Why? Was it like volunteer or did you?
That's a good question.
Was it?
Somebody doesn't like
it. And Diane and Christine and I were sitting talking about how to go about this and tried to find name people who had some experience in the village. Most of these people have been in the village at least once, 1 year. Molly, I think, is the exception, and she's kind of taking the spot that Christine left. And also representing different areas of the village, emergencies, registrations, operations, also male-female split. So it was kind of a looking at the community and seeing what might be a good representative, and different opinions, and people that we thought had a pretty strong understanding of what police stood for. Which I think is good.
I might want to share what I shared when we talked about this is how we wrap up, and to say I think I speak for most, if not all of us. This has been a very, to be on this is not easy. And I think for all of us, it is an emotional issue and it is hard. And some of what your gut says, that you want to run from this and not even think about this, has to be measured against some realities, some good use of people's time. And so I think for a lot of us, what we want to do and what realities are don't always come together, and it's a hard, it's difficult.
I wish this wasn't happening personally. It would have been nice to go back in time a little bit and have it when the technology was not available and we didn't have to think about it. But it is happening, and if we don't do anything, it's going to happen to us. So I think to be prepared and to have policies and to give it careful thought is our best chance of not having it happen to us, but to shape the way it happens as best we can.
Yeah, I think when I would first think about phones in the villages, definitely against them. Now the more I think about it, I see some positives that could come out of it. Where I struggle is in trusting human nature to maintain that commitment to appropriate use. So
the way I've been thinking about this as we've had some of our discussions is that when Holden first came into existence, it was a child, and like any child, the parent will set restrictions and not allow certain decisions to be made by that child. And in this case, one of the decisions that we didn't have to make for many, many years was whether to have a telephone here. That decision was made for us. And I take the liberty of saying that perhaps at this point, we're being given the responsibility of making that choice.